The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I've read his books. I've sat under his ministry. And preachers are the worst people in the world to get preached to because we know it all. You know, we do. We're studying, and whenever somebody's preaching, we said, yeah, but you could have said this, so you could have said that. You know, we just do it. I mean, it's just the way it is, all right? But there are some folks that get my attention, and I'll say, wow, I never thought of it that way before. And it ministers to me. And it ministers to you, and it ministers to me. And Rick has done that. He ministers to me. So I don't want to take any more of his time, but I just want to tell you how much I appreciate him. And you're in for a treat if you haven't heard him before. Rick, come on up here. He has the whole service.
And say hi. Get the mic from Pastor. I'm going to let my wife address you this morning so you can see how amazing she is. And just tell the people hi this morning while we're...
Hi.
Okay,
good morning.
You can sit down.
We didn't
now.
Talk about... Am I done?
No. Tell them how awesome I am and tell... No. yeah. This is my beautiful wife. She is... God's wonderful gift to me. I call her my fine bottle of port. She's this something that's been reserved for a long, long time. And in my newest book, I talk about, you know, the tragedy of losing my wife, you know, sometime back. And when you go through things like that, sometimes you feel like you've hit such a big setback or you've hit a roadblock or a dead end in your life, and it's hard to see your future. I would have never have dreamed that I could be so happy. In fact, I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life. To God be the glory. And if you've suffered a setback, if you've suffered a loss, if you've hit a roadblock, or you think you're at a dead end, or you just can't see where to go or how to go on, I'm telling you, God is awesome. He's faithful and true, and he'll prove that to you if you just find yourself in him. And God, why don't you help me give the commercial here right now. This is one of our shirts. This is, what's the concept here?
This is Rick's design. His first book is called Fullness, and it's sort of his flagship message about having everything in Christ. So he thought of, you know, a tank, a gas tank on full. And the scripture is from Ephesians, and it says, know the love of God, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I feel like that's what we're doing during this conference this weekend, is we really are receiving greater measures of the love of God. It's never ending. I used to think when people got married that the love was the biggest when they first met and fell in love, and that it would fade over time. But the love of God doesn't work that way.
That's right.
It expands over time. And you think you've loved as much as you could possibly love today, and then tomorrow you're loving more, and you think it wouldn't be possible, and it is.
Yeah.
Rick's ministry started back in the early 90s. He had a church in Titusville, Florida. He and his wife, Teresa, started the church, and they pastored there for about 9 years, and the Lord called Rick to just go out on the road, and he really didn't know a lot of people or have a lot of people calling and asking him, and but he just stepped out on faith, and they started traveling to different places, California, Oklahoma, Florida. And he's been doing that ever since. And the Lord has just blessed him with a gift of communication. He's a humble man. He's a loving man. He cares about people. And just God has blessed the work of his hands. When I met him, I actually met him online. And he's sort of like by... sort of subtly or I don't know, he just mentioned that he had written a book, and I love to read, and I'm like, what? You wrote a book, and you never said anything about that? And so I asked him, you know, if I could get it on Amazon, and I read it. And when I read it, I really was...
You fell in love.
I fell in love. It was like, I said to the Lord, he's so much like me. Like, it just really touched me that he had come to some of the similar revelations that the Lord had shown me about grace, but he did it in a different way and in a different package. And I realized, even though it was a completely different story, it was my story too. And it was really, really neat. So we have some products. It's part of how we make our living, and we like to share revelations but give you something to kind of hold on to after we leave and help remind you or renew your mind or share it with other people. And so we have a couple books, and we're kind of at the end of our our stash. And so we've put a sign-up sheet in the back, and if you'd like to order a book that we don't have with us, Pat and Morris will be in Florida in a couple weeks, and they'll bring them back for you. There'll be no shipping charge or anything like
that's
that.
That's good. So. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's yours. You can see why I'm so happy and I'm so in love. Very briefly, this is our curriculum. I mentioned it last night. I didn't tell you that much about it. There's 18 lessons in here. It deals with every area of your life, Heaven on Earth University, based on what Jesus said was the will of God, that His will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And that's what we have in Him. Heaven came to earth and joined with us, and we walk in the kingdom of God now. And it's the will of God that you experience heaven while you're walking on this earth. And you can. It's so real and it's so powerful, but it deals with that experience in the area of your relationship with God. That's where it starts. You have to relate to God the correct way first. You got to know that He digs you unconditionally. Got to know everything's been taken care of, paid for. There's nothing left to pay. There's no more labor involved in this thing. It's all been done. This is why we worship Jesus. This is why we're so Christ-centered, because it's all about Him. So we relate to God, right? And everything else follows after that. Then we renew our mind. It gets into your thinking. It gets into your the benefits of what this whole life is. Healing in your body. Some practical things from the Word of God of walking in that. This is about living heaven on earth in this life. A healthy body, a healed body, a young, vital body, even at an old age. I'm almost 92 right now. You wouldn't believe it. Just kidding. But Lord, teach me to number my days aright. I think that's in the Bible somewhere. But it deals with your money, your finances, your occupation, what you're putting your hand to. We shouldn't be frustrated about those things. Everything should be full of joy. And this deals with that. Your relationships. You shouldn't be heartbroken. And the Word of God deals with that. We have a lot of CDs that we haven't mentioned. If you haven't got enough after we have left, then we've got lots of different messages on CD. This one I just picked up back there, a sample. This is called Resurrection is for Now. Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, and He said, your brother's going to live again. And his sister says, duh, we're all going to live again someday. We know that. We've been to Sunday school, Jesus. And He says, no, I'm not talking about someday later on the calendar. I'm the resurrection, and I'm here now. And resurrection is now. And the Bible says that the resurrection, He lives inside of us, and He is the resurrection. And we live that resurrection life now. And that's why the Bible says, go ahead and present yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead. Are y'all happy yet? You're going to get happy if you haven't. But if anybody has suffered a loss, or you've hit a roadblock, or you don't see where your future is or how you're going, and you want this, I'll give this to you. Raise your hand. Please raise your hand, somebody. Act like you want one of my CDs. Thank you. I want to get into something.
Rick, before you get that, yes. I forgot to do one thing.
Sure.
Forgive me. Since you're doing a commercial, the basket in the back that you had to stumble over when you came in is a love offering basket. So I'd ask you, please, to give generously. These folks came here with... I asked Rick when he's coming, I said, do you have a minimum charge amount of money? He said, I just come. You invite me, I go where the Lord sends me. So he hasn't asked for anything, but I would ask on his behalf in the name of the Lord. Just give generously, put it in the basket. You know, I don't like to pass the basket, so that's why we don't do that. So you just give as the Lord leaves before you leave, okay? And it's right, you'll stumble over it on the way out, so you can't forget about it.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Thank you. I want to get into something that it's something that I was commissioned quite a few years ago to do. And every time I go to a place, especially if I haven't been there before, I have to bring in this sound in a strong way, and it's a joy to do that. But, you know, talking about the grace of God as we are this weekend, and talking about, if you were here last night, talking about how there's nothing left to do, that it's finished and all the work is done, and what that means for us personally is that all the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus. And in Him, we already have everything. That's a now word. And that's not in the future we're going to have it, or God's going to give it, or we're going to try to get God to give it, or get God to move somewhere in the future, but everything is in the now. Jesus isn't coming to die on the cross again for us, or to shed any more blood. What He did was more than enough for us, and we have everything we need in the now. We want to look at that this morning. I was, a number of years ago, I was living out in California when I first started my traveling ministry, and California, if any of you lived out there, California basically took all of my money. And it took all of my money, and it took all of my credit, and it drained my credit, and it got to the end of my credit, and it ultimately damaged my credit, trying to stay alive and trying to live there. And it was very hard financially, but the ministry was beginning to take off. We had just started, and I was busy with some invitations. But financially, it was very hard for us in the beginning. And fortunately, we had a pretty nice car, a decent car, and it was paid for. So, you know, we didn't carry full coverage on it. And unfortunately, it was totaled out in a hit and run there, which is what that's customary in California. When you smash into somebody, you don't stop. You hit and run, because if you get caught, you get in trouble. So nobody stops. And so we were left without a car, without any money or credit or anything. There was no one culpable because they didn't find the guy. They don't even look for him, because it's too hard to find people in California. And and so we've got no wheels for our family. But the way we roll as believers is the first thing I went to is my source, and I said, that's okay, God will provide, everything's going to be all right. You know, that's how we believe. I wasn't an immature Christian at all. You know, I was strong in the Lord, and I had been trusting Him for years, and so I just said, that's okay. I don't know how God's going to take care of this, but it's going to be all right. God will take care of this. And I just began to rejoice and praise God that He was my Jehovah Jireh, going to take care of me and meet my needs and all that. And I just kept the joy of that, you know, day after day, and would thank God for what He was doing. And that was easy to do for a while, but then after some days go by and then some weeks go by, you know, you find yourself like, God, I'm still here. Any day would be nice. And you're still waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're trying to keep the joy. And I was talking to the Lord about that on one of those days. And, you know, I'm like, God, don't forget me. You know, I'm walking here, and I don't have a car. I'm borrowing cars. I'm catching rides with people. I'm, you know, doing all kinds of things. And I was reminding God that I'm still waiting here. But at the same time, I continued to speak to Him, and I said, and now, Lord, I want you to know that I'm not trying to rush things. I'm not trying to rush you or trying to push you. I said, I know that you know things I don't know, and you know, your timing is fine with me, and I want you to know that. You know, you know your boy. But far be it from me to try to put my will on you. You know, I would never do that, Father. And while I think that's a good attitude to have towards God, God corrected me. And when I was saying that to Him, He corrected me, and I heard His voice speak to me so clearly. And He said, son, He said, you can have that car anytime you're ready, because everything you need, you already have within you. I didn't get an amen, but I got an That's pretty good. He said, everything you need, you already have within you. Well, I had already come to know that we have everything we need in Jesus, and that God meets all of our needs according to His riches in glory. And that means in the Spirit, it's all right there. But He spoke exactly what I needed to hear, because it interrupted me, and I thought, oh, so God's saying that I'm not waiting on Him, that He was waiting on me. But when He said that, when He said, you can have that, you can be driving anytime you're ready, because everything you need, you already have within you, my first reaction was, I spoke right back and I said, well, God, I've been ready for the last couple of weeks. And I heard the Lord speak right back to me, and he said, no, you've been needy for 2 weeks. You haven't been ready, because if you were ready, you would have that car. I wasn't ready to receive. And I realized what I was doing, that every day when I woke up, I knew that God was going to do something soon. I believed that there was an answer and somehow God would do something, because I'd seen him do lots of things in my life. But he wasn't going to do it this day. He might do it tomorrow. It was around the corner. God was fixing to do something, we say. He was commencing to begin to almost start. And it's that mentality that a lot of us have in Christianity, especially in this day, those of us that are passionate about the things of God, there's this sense of there's something just around the corner, you know, for the body of Christ, something in the nation, something that God's planning, something that's just around the corner. It's just God's just about to do something here. I can just smell it. It's just right out there. And we live our lives a lot of time with God just right out there, and most Christians are just almost blessed and almost happy and almost healed, and their family's almost saved, and they're almost prosperous, and they've got this belief, but everything's just right out there, just a little bit past their fingertips, but we keep walking like we're following this carrot on a string, because we have hope, and we believe, and we've seen it, and so we just keep going, and we can go through all kinds of problems and all kinds of troubles in this hope, and we continue to walk, and we follow that carrot, and people walk and walk and walk, and at times you wonder, when will it ever be? And our message continues to be, God's about to do something. Your answer is just ahead of you. Well, I want to throw that away today and tell you that God's not about to do something. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad you came to church today? God's not about to heal you. God's not about to do something. God is in the now. His name is now. We're going to look at something this morning. And everything you need, it's right here in the house today. Can I read you something that might help you? Okay. Ezekiel chapter 12. Verse 20. I can't read that yet. I got to finish my story. Because I'm still walking. When I heard God say that, I turned around. I went back home. And I got in the bedroom and I closed the door and I said, okay, I know what God said is true. But I also knew that that possibility of now, of God doing something right in the now, that I had to believe it, right? Because if you believe, all things are possible. And I had to get now. I mean, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about know that you know that you know. I had to go and get in touch with the Spirit, and I prayed till I knew that I knew that I knew without a doubt that it was done. You know what I'm talking about? When you go and you get it, really get serious with God, and you contact with God, and you get into agreement with God, I mean, you believe it. And it wasn't just something God had said. It wasn't just something that was doctrinal to me. It was something that I knew in my heart that was in the now, and right now while I stood there, I knew somehow, some way that everything was moving and happening right now, not tomorrow or next week. Something, a miracle was working in the right now, and I was about to get in my car. And I came out of that bedroom, and I told my wife I was getting ready to preach, to leave the next morning on a ministry trip. And I said, something is happening. I said, change my ticket, make it one way, because something's going to happen on this trip, and I'm going to drive a car back. And I mean, I felt it. I knew it. Because of that word that God spoke, I agreed with it, and I became that. I just knew. And so I flew out on that trip the next day, and I preached in a church, and I was going to be there 3 nights. And I preached in that church, and the next day, there was a friend that I had in the area, and I would always stay with him when I was there. And he said, what do you want to do today? I said, take me to a car dealership. I'm going to pick out a car. I'm going to get me a car today. And so we go to the car dealership, and we talk, you know, deal with the salesman. I pick out the car that I want, and I said, this is my car. I want to buy this one. He says, okay, let's go in here. Let's do a credit thing. I said, no, I'm not financing this. I said, I want to pay for it. And he's like, okay, well, let's have it. And I'm like, okay, I will. Now, I don't know how God's going to do this. I'm just believing that he is. You know, I'm waiting. Are you going to say you're going to give it to me free? You know, I didn't say that, but I'm waiting for, I don't know what God's going to do. I just know I got it. And he wasn't offering it free. So I reached in my pocket. I reached in my wallet. And you won't believe this, but when I looked in my wallet, there was absolutely nothing there. There actually was $50 in my wallet. That's what I had come with on the trip. Well, I gave him that $50. I said, hold this. I'm coming back. Now, I don't know how God's going to do it. I just know it's done. He says, I'll hold it till tomorrow. He said, but after that, if somebody wants it, and he said, they want to drive it off the lot, it's there. I said, hold it till tomorrow. I'm coming. Something's happening. And so I gave him my $50. And so then I had to preach that night in the church again, and I preached the message. And after I was done, not sure exactly what I preached that night, but when I was done, I was talking to people, and I walked out to the parking lot, and one of the ladies in the church came and approached me. She said, Brother Rick, my husband would like to talk to you. I said, okay. And he came out of the shadows, and he hadn't been to any of the meetings. And he said, he apologized for not being there. He said, I wanted to come tonight. My wife told me about last night, and I really wanted to come tonight, but I got busy and I couldn't make it to the meeting. He said, but I'm glad I caught you before you left because I had to talk to you. And he started kind of mumbling a little bit and hem-hawing, and he says, I really think God spoke to me today. And he said, tell me something. He says, do you need like a lot of money for something big, like a car or a house or something? I said, yeah. Now, you know, I still don't know where this is going. I said, yeah. And I just thought, because people are used to encourage people in the Lord. And I thought that's what he was doing. So he started hem-hawing a little bit, and his wife says, he's kind of new at this. He's kind of new at stepping out and trying to obey God in these things, so he's a little nervous with it. So I said, oh, okay. I said, well, I just want you to know that you're right on. I told him my story. I told him what I did that day at the car dealer. And I said, I just want you to know you are right on. You have heard God, and God has used you to speak to me and encourage me. I said, that's exactly what I needed to hear tonight. I said, thank you. I'm expecting a miracle. Something's happening, and God has used you to confirm it. You've been obedient. Thank you very much. And he says, I'm not done. He says, how much is it? And I have the amount all written out, the whole total, everything. I said, here it is. He told his wife, go get the checkbook, and he bought the car. He chose a perfect stranger who lived 50 miles away from the town where the dealership was. And while I was telling that salesman, here's my 50, I'm coming back to pay cash for this car, God's over there tapping somebody on the shoulder who I've never met and saying, you know that preacher where your wife was last night? Here's what I want you to do. Wow. You see, here's what I'm telling you this morning. In the now, in Jesus, since you do have everything, then anything can happen. And there's a myriad of things that God can do and ways that God can do it. And it's not something that's just that's out there in your future only. It's in the now. And if we can come into agreement with a now God, then a now happening can start going on in your life and things can start moving. Can I preach this morning? Amen. Do you remember in Amos chapter 9 where he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him that sows seed. What's that mean? It means that by the time you're throwing the seed in the ground, the harvest is hitting you in the face. The sowing and the reaping happen at the same time. That's called now. Let me read Ezekiel chapter 12. I'm excited now. Can y'all hear me on the back row? Get ready. Somebody going to get their now today. Would it be okay if you walked out of here and you woke up tomorrow and money wasn't your problem? Would it be okay if that physical ailment wasn't your issue anymore when you woke up tomorrow? Yes. Would it be okay if that, you know, anyway, Ezekiel 12, it would be okay, I assume. Ezekiel 12, verse 21. Here's a prophetic word from the Old Testament prophet speaking of this day, the day of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel that says the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Israel was the people of God in those days. We are the church today. What is this thing that I'm hearing in the church, says the Lord? What are my people in the church talking about when all they keep saying is that the days are prolonged and the visions don't come to pass yet? Tell them, therefore, says the Lord God, I'm going to lay that proverb to rest, and they're not going to use it as a proverb in the church anymore. Are you listening to me? This voice I hear that says everything's for later on, everything's down the road, everything's just around the corner, everything's out in front of us, tell them I'm going to lay that to rest, and we're not going to hear it in church anymore. Tell them, therefore, but say to them, says the Lord, that the days are at hand and the fulfillment of every vision. Somebody say every vision. How many got vision here this morning? How many holding on to a word, a dream, a hope, a something, a sense of something that you know God has for you? You've been holding to it. You've been waiting for it. Tell them, I got to do this morning. God's told me, tell them that the day is now at hand for the fulfillment of every vision. Come on, somebody. Every promise of God is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And He's here in the house today. You're the house. He's in you. Bam. Thank you. I'm going to preach today. Uh-oh, where am I at? What kind of church you got here? This is going to get fun this morning. Verse 24, for no more will there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. In other words, there won't be a fortune told that's just words. Verse 25, for I am the Lord. I speak, and the word I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. Would that be all right? Amen. If the waiting was over. Yes. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it. That's the sowing and the reaping together, Amen. Says the Lord of hosts. Fast forward to Jesus. He shows up in a synagogue in Luke chapter 4. And they call upon him to read. And so he finds the place in the book of Isaiah that says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set at liberty the captives, and preach recovering of sight to the blind, etc. Now, I don't know if they probably didn't do church like you guys do. There was a synagogue, so I'm sure it was different. But let's just bring it into today where we can understand it. Jesus up there reading from the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives. And let's just imagine some out there, amen, Jesus, preach it. He's anointed me to preach recovery of sight to the blind. He's promising that blind eyes will open. He's promising that the captives will go free. They all believe in that promise. They like that promise. Yeah, that day's coming. People are going to go free when that happens. Blind eyes will open. Yeah, there's going to be increase. All these things are going to happen. Yeah, we believe that. We love singing about it. We love hearing about it. And Jesus sits down and says, now, today, it's fulfilled. They did what happens when people got religious spirits. See, religion doesn't mind making promises. But you say it's now, bam, that blows everything out of the water. I'm sure they were with him when he first started reading it. Then he sits down and says, now it's fulfilled. And they're like, whoa, what is this? Confusion bounces off the walls. What's going on here? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Who is he? What's he talking about? And pretty soon, if you read it, the Bible says they're carrying him and throwing him out the church building. And they were still so mad, that's not good enough. They pick him up again, and they throw him out of town. And they take him to the edge of the city, and they take him out of town. And it still ain't good enough, because then it says they take him to the edge of a cliff and try to throw him off the world. Not because he said God's going to open blind eyes. Not because he said captives will go free. Because he said it's here now. Oh, come on. Jesus was so different. Jesus was, if you look at him, everything was in the now. They would marvel that a man would say something and it would happen. All the religious leaders were saying stuff and it was always in the future because nothing had to happen. But Jesus would say something and it would happen. Why? Because he brought the now to us. See, because the work is finished and there's no more labor involved, not by him, not by you, no more price to pay, no more labor involved, Everything is ours. Everything has been freely given to us. We have it all now. God, give us grace to open our eyes and see something this morning, to be able to behold the glory of your kingdom and see that there is no lack in this kingdom, but we come from a place of abundance. Our heritage is heaven, and our heritage is not lack and need and want. It's fullness and abundance today. Everybody here has everything they want, and when you go out those doors, you're going to go out of here in fullness and abundance, and you won't be postponed anymore. Would it be okay? I'm telling you, oh, I've got enough time. Let me show you something. Just I got to lay a few things down. This is so Bible. When God spoke to Moses to take him back to go back to Egypt and deliver them after he'd been out there in the desert 40 years, Moses is like, man, I've been there and done that. It didn't work. I tried that before. He says, what if I go back there and I tell them God sent me? And they say, well, if God sent you, what's his name? What will I tell them? What did God say? Tell them I am. I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you. Why is that important? And then a few verses later, he says, For they have known me as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but by my name they have not known me. Now that's interesting. See, I thought when God told Abraham, tell them I am, I thought he was giving Abraham the password that they would recognize. But he says, they haven't known me by my name. They knew me as the God of the patriarchs in the past. They knew me as the God of the promise. They knew me as the God who used to, could, and will someday. But I am, they've never known that. So Moses, you're not going to them in the name of the God who used to do something. And you're not going to them in the name of the God who's going to do something. You're going to them in the name of I am. You're going to them in the name of a now God, not a future God, and not a past God. Are you hearing me right now? This was important. Why was it important? Can you still hear me on the back row? Why am I hollering so loud? This was important because for over 400 years, these descendants of Abraham and the descendants were promised the promised land, and they never stepped a toe in it. But they lived their generations and died a slave. Lived their generation and died a slave. And they were the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were the God who had seen God do miracles, and they were the God who was looking to him as a future deliverer. And the problem with that was, why was it so long? One reason was because every day they woke up, he was the future deliverer. He was going to deliver them, but he wasn't delivering them that day. So he said, we got to come with a whole new thing. You got to come to them in the name of I am, not I will be. Oh, are you? And our God this morning is not I will be. It's I am. See, the church, we don't even know what's on our table in front of us. We're still waiting for God to do something extra when there ain't nothing extra needs to be done. Help me. We're acting like the work's not finished when it is. Because we just didn't know. So I got to come to you as the in the name of the I am, not the I'm going to be or I'm going to do. Because we are the beneficiary, we're the recipients of a prophesied work that had been prophesied for thousands of years, and it already happened 2,000 years ago, and here we are supposed to be relishing this thing and enjoying this thing and embracing the fullness of everything it means, because everything the prophets led up to and prophesied about, it came to us 2,000 years ago, not 2,000 years later from us. You got it all going on because you got it now. Now, go with me to the book of John chapter 2. So, you heard my little story that's when it started. That's when something ignited me. When I saw that, how many of the Bible says he confirms his word with signs following? That was my first sign. I'm like, man, this is big time. This is real.
I've heard of testimonies like this, but I never had one before. I got my own testimony to tell. I sat for years in churches while people would give those testimonies, and I'm like, yeah, hallelujah, happy for you. Let me tell you something else, what I would think when those things would happen. I would think, man, I wish I had that kind of faith or I could do that. Man, I wish I was that strong in spirit. I wish I trusted God as much as he or she does. Maybe I could have me a testimony. Let me debunk that right now. The reason that happened to me was not because I had whatever you want to call great faith. It wasn't because I was super strong in the spirit. Remember, one day earlier, I was just, Lord, whenever you see fit, you know, that's when it's good enough for me, you know. I didn't know. I was just like everybody else. But I heard a word. That's what made the difference. That's all you got to do this morning. I'm not trying to get you to be a super strong, mystical, gigantic, supernatural, spiritual anything. If you can hear a sound, that sound will take you in. John heard a trumpet, a sound of a trumpet when he was on the Isle of Patmos. He saw a voice like a trumpet. And the trumpet was saying, come up hither. He said, I saw a door opened in heaven. I saw a door opened in heaven and a voice saying, come up hither. Now, I'm embellishing here, but here's what I see next. Okay. Because we hear that sound and we try to get up there. I heard a sound. He says, but when I turned to see the voice, immediately I was in the spirit. It was the sound that did it all. It was the word that he heard that was all the empowering that he needed. And this morning, no matter how we do ministry when we wrap this up, if I don't wave any magic wand, if I don't punch anybody in the stomach or squeeze anybody's head, if you can hear and see something, you've got it. And you'll walk out that door and God will show himself faithful and be who he is. He's the I am. Are you hearing me this morning? If you hear something, if you see something, I got no worries about you. It's done. You're in the now. Now, in John, the book of John chapter 2, after that whole thing happened with the car, I know that I've entered into something else, another kind of a walk with God. I've got a revelation that's real. I mean, it's all in my eyes. And when I read my Bible, when I started reading my Bible after that, all I could see was the now God. The finished work, the now, the complete and finished, utter everything. We have it all right in the now, and if we can just see it, we walk in it. Amen. And I just and I heard the Lord speak to me in that season. He said, "I want you to get my people in the now zone because God loves His people, and the work's been done, but His Spirit just wants to reveal what's already done." See, God's not doing something new, really, really, if you want to get down to it. He's not doing something new in this hour. He's revealing something that's new to us, but it's been there the whole time since Jesus came. Huh? So it is new to us because we haven't seen it or experienced it, but it's been there the whole time. Because revelation is not the creation of something new. Revelation is the unveiling of something that's already there. Okay? So I started seeing this. And I started hearing everywhere, and it started happening in my life, and I'm walking in this thing that I was calling the now zone. I've got one book called The Now Zone left, First Come, First Served. It's back there. It's gone. Somebody grabbed it. We've got a list. Order them. And so I finally got to where I had it strong enough and together in me where I could preach it in the church for the first time. And so I was preaching in a church, and I had them turn to John chapter 2, and I was looking at this story here. And it says in John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, that there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, right? And on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and they ran out of wine at the wedding. How many know the story? And so they ran out of wine, so what did Mary, the mother of Jesus, do? She goes to her son Jesus and says, "We're out of wine." do something. You know. He says, woman, what's that have to do with me? Why are you coming to me? He says, it says so right here, verse 4. Jesus said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. What's he talking about? She knows he can do something about it. Remember, virgin birth, everything. She knows who he is. Angel Gabriel, your son will be called the Son of the Most High. She knows who he is, so she says, they ran out of wine, Jesus. Do something. He said, my hour's not yet come. It's not time for me to do things like that in front of people. It's not time for me to show myself yet. Jesus said that. Are you with me? Am I in the Bible? My hour has not yet come. In other words, the timing's not right. The Lord himself, she made a request to the Lord. The Lord said, it's not time. Now, just about any of us here, if we pray and ask the Lord for something, and if we hear him say, it's not time, that's good enough for us. But it wasn't with Mary. Mary, when you read the story, next verse, she don't even say nothing else to him. She just says to the servants, do whatever he says. It's like she didn't even hear him turn her down. She just walked away and said, when I come back, boy, I better be seeing me some wine. And Jesus didn't get mad. And Jesus didn't plead his case. He's like, oh, and he made wine. And I could show you example after example in the Bible when people did that. See, when Mary would not take no for an answer, would not take timing for an answer, Jesus made it time. God said, what I'm going to do in those days is I'm going to take time out of your struggle. So it's not so that the reaping and the sowing are not separated by a long period of time. So that the word and the manifestation would not be two separate seasons anymore. But I will remove time out of the equation and do what he said in Ezekiel 12. I will say it and do it. And Jesus showed that. Jesus would say it, and there wasn't a season of waiting before it happened. Am I okay? Am I in the Bible with it? And so Jesus showed us that kingdom life as a son of God. And he brought that into us with his work. But he told Mary, it's not time. I love this picture here. She didn't take no for an answer, and Jesus made it time anyway. If you look at this a little bit, you'll see he always likes it. Remember there was a Canaanite woman, a Sidonian. And she said, Jesus, come heal my daughter. And Jesus turned her down because of timing. He said, no. He says, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, for I am not sent to the house of Israel. You're a Canaanite woman, Sidonian. Now, Jesus wasn't prejudiced at all. The will of the Lord is that all be saved and all come to a knowledge of the truth. But the timing wasn't right because for those 3.5 years, Jesus was sent by the Father to speak and do those things in Israel. The plan was, after his death, burial, and resurrection, then all the disciples, and there'd be all those others, all the way up to us, we would go out into all the world and we would give them the exact same things that Jesus was doing for Israel. Right? And that's what we started doing in the book of Acts. We took the same things that Jesus began to do and preach, and we took them outside of Israel, and we started dispensing it to the world, because that was the plan. But for Jesus himself, he was to just do it in Israel. So he's turning her down, but if you could read between the lines, what he would be saying is, you're going to get these things if you'll just wait. But right now, this is for me to do in Israel, but if you'll wait till after my resurrection, there's going to be Stephen and Paul and John and all those guys. They're going to go, and you guys are going to have all this too. But right now, at this time, it's just for Israel. Are y'all with me? That's what he's saying. The issue was not that his will wasn't for them to have it too. It was. It was the timing of it. And she says, well, Lord, and he called her a dog. Give the children's bread to the dogs. He said, well, even the dogs get the crumbs off the table. No, I like this. Go on, she's healed. He didn't berate her. He didn't say, how dare you talk to me like that? He didn't say, didn't you hear me? I told you it's not time yet for you. Whenever she went ahead and stepped into the now anyway, he liked it and he says, go. This is the kind of faith I like. Are y'all hearing me? Now, just briefly, we don't have time to do a whole seminar on the timings of God. There are certain times that we move with the leading of the Spirit in our lives. You know, if God tells me to start a church, all the promises are in Him, yes and amen. So I saw this, and I was preaching it. And then I went on down to verse 18. And here's when the good stuff started happening. I read on down there where they asked Jesus, they said, give us a sign since you do these things. And Jesus said in verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. I said, no way. It's taken 46 years to build this temple. You say you can build it in 3 days? Now, we know theologically he was talking about his temple, the body. And that happened. But they don't know that. They're standing there at the temple. He had just driven everybody out the day before. And he's saying, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. I said, no way. It takes over 40 years to build this. You can't do this in 3 days. You might be a good teacher. You might be a healer. You might know a lot about God, but you know nothing about construction. Take it from us. We've been there and done it. It takes over 40 years to do this. Jesus said, I can do it in 3 days. Now, I got to that, and I heard the Lord begin to speak to me in that church when I first brought this message out. And the Lord spoke to me by inspiration to tell that congregation specifically. I said, what the Lord is telling you today is that what used to take over 40 years of waiting and labor and praying and staying faithful, keeping your nose to the grindstone and pushing on and holding on and letting go and doing all those things, God says, you'll see those very same things happen in 3 days now in what normally used to take the church 40 years to see. And I just kept speaking by inspiration. I said, and the Lord is also saying that what normally would have taken 20 years, you'll see in 1 day. We were talking about this morning when God showed you that very same thing. And I just kept speaking because I was seeing it so clear. And I said, church, God's telling you this evening, it's an evening service, that what normally has taken 10 years, He'll do this very hour. 1 hour. I said, for instance, some of you have been trusting God. You've been hanging on. You've been praying and doing spiritual labor for 10 years for a loved one or a family member. And some of them, the more you pray, the meaner they get. Some of you are so disillusioned because maybe they've even dabbled with church a little bit, but they never quite pan out. And you're like, will they ever, ever cross over and fall in love with Jesus? And I said, and you've been doing spiritual labor for 10 years. God said, He's going to now do that for you in 1 hour. And I wasn't sure exactly what everything that I was talking about. I was just inspired to say those things. And I just kept preaching. And at the end of the service, I was praying for people and praying for their now. And most of it was healing that people needed. And there was a line of people from this wall to the other one. And I was praying for people. And I was going down the line from this side to that. And God was moving and blessing. And there was good things happening. People were getting now manifestations in their body of healing. And I'm just having fun. I'm just ministering. And the anointing is there. And we're all having church. And I got right about here. And there was a lady with tears soaking her face. And she was looking down. And I said, what is it, sister? And she said, when you were talking about 10 years and praying for someone and laboring and standing and everything you described, she said, that's me. I said, that's exactly where I'm at. I've been praying for my husband. Said, he won't come. He doesn't want anything to do with church. Anything to do with God. She said, it's so hard sometimes. She said, I can have church and feel so good, and when I go home, He knows just what to say to take my joy away from me. He makes fun of my church, my God, my belief. She said, I've been trying my best. I've been standing, hanging on. She said, but it's not easy. And I felt so sorry for her because it's her husband. She can't quit. And so I just started praying for her the only way I knew how. All I knew to do was just stand on the scriptures. And so I quoted a scripture which says that, well, if you believe, you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved and your house. So I said, let's just agree with that. And I took her hand and I said, let's just touch this as two agreeing on it. And let's just agree that it's done, you know. And that's all I knew to do. And while I was praying that with her, this strange boldness and faith got all over me real strong. Yes. And I said, and I looked at her and I said, sister, I said, right now, while you're standing here, that man of yours is bowing his knee and he's calling on the name of the Lord Jesus right now. When you go home tonight, you're going to find a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now the church, they did what you did, only louder, because they knew the whole situation. You know, they got real happy. They went, whoa! They stood up and they were shouting and praising God. I mean, because they heard that word and they believed it. I mean, it just felt like it was happening right now. Man, the louder they shouted, the stronger I felt. Prophets in the house tonight. Come on, who else? And I just felt, man, I felt so strong and anointed, and I got the word of fire in my mouth, and I'm ready to speak some more, and I'm praying for people. And then about a minute later, I'm not feeling so confident anymore, because this voice started, the accuser started speaking to me. And it said, what did you just do? And why did you do that? It said, you had to show off, didn't you? And here's what the voice said. It said, all you had to do, Rick, was just stand on the solid scripture. Everybody would have been down with that. That's all you had to do, and you would have been solid. But no, you had to show off. That's what the voice told me. And I thought, I hope I didn't do that. I didn't want to do that, you know. But it troubled me for a moment, but I couldn't dwell on it because I'm busy praying for people. So it just kind of came and went. And I just continued to pray for people, and we had church, and God blessed people, and by the time I forgot all about that. When we were done, I was happy. I felt good. The people were happy. We fellowshipped a little bit. We dismissed, and I just knew we had a great meeting that night. About a week later, the pastor called me and was talking about the meeting and said, you know, thank you for coming, and we got blessed by this and that, and she was telling me some of the little testimonies of things that had happened in her church and things that God had done for people. Then she got real quiet. She goes, Rick, can I tell you something? I said, yeah, sure. And she kind of got quiet a bit. She goes, do you remember you told one of our ladies in church that when she got home, her husband would be saved? And I had forgot all about it till she said that. When she said it, it hit me in the face, and I was like, yeah. And now I'm like, oh, my goodness, I did do that. What if she went home and he beat her or something, you know? And so she gets quiet for a second, and I'm trying, and I shouldn't share this with you because we preachers are so perfect, you know. But in the back of my mind, I was trying to come up with a biblical excuse for why it didn't work, you know. And I was like, oh. And she says, well, her husband stayed home that night. And he never does this, but he was turning the channels, and he stopped on the wrong channel. He stopped on a Christian program. And the man was, and she named the minister, and he was operating in the gifts, and he said, there's a young man named Arnold watching this tonight, and that was his name. He said, you don't normally watch Christian TV, but the reason you are tonight is because God's got your heart, and this is your night. He said, I want you to pray this prayer with me and call the number on the screen and let us know, and Arnold did. And I wanted to say, well, of course he did. Was there any doubt? You know. No. But he had given me a sign the first time I preached it, and he confirmed it. Now I'm going strong with it. I'm like, my goodness, God's got a word for his people here. He wants his people to walk in the now. He doesn't want them to have to linger, have to suffer, have to be stressed about it, have to wait. He's got everything. He's so good. He loves us. I just got to tell everybody. So I'm preaching everywhere I go. The next church I went to after that, the very next church, I'm preaching that kind of a message, and I shared that story with them, the story about her and her husband and what happened. They all got excited about it, and I preached that on a Sunday morning, and then I came back on Sunday night to preach again. I was scheduled for both services, and at the end of that service, I don't know what I preached on Sunday night, but at the end of it, I'm praying for people again, and they were lined up, you know, from wall to wall, and there was a lady way over here, and she had a folded green T-shirt, I believe it was. It was green, folded in her hands. It was just a shirt, and I said, what's this? And she says, well, when you were telling that story about the lady and her husband, I'm in that exact same boat, and she told her situation, and she said, and this is his favorite shirt. He wears it all the time.
said, would you anoint this and pray over it? And I said, sure. And I put my hands on it, and I began to explain to the church how it was biblical to have a point of contact, and Paul even had prayer cloths and all that, and you could touch it, man. And we just believed that, you know, that God would use this. And I began praying, and we just agreed as touching it, and that, you know, standing on the scriptures. And then that boldness got on me again. And I said, sister, I said, when that man of yours puts this shirt on the next time, the anointing of God's going to get all over him, and he's going to bow his knee and declare Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. The church went crazy, you know. I'm feeling good again. One lady was hopping up and down way over here. I got that invitation from one of the leaders in the church, not the pastor. I didn't meet the pastor till that morning. And he was really gracious to me, but I didn't even meet his wife until that night after service. That was her jumping up and down because that was her son that we were praying for. And I didn't know that at the time. But that's one reason the church was going crazy. Woo! Hallelujah, man. We were having church, and everybody was shouting and praising. And I'm like, prophet's back. Hallelujah, you know. And you might not believe this, but I'm telling you, almost the exact same thing happened. I'm praying for people, and this thought started coming to me. The accuser was speaking to me, and it said, there you go again. I'll tell you, that accuser is slick. It changed it just a little bit. Here's what he said to me. He said, God bailed you out last time. He said, but you can't just keep going out on a limb and expect God to bail you out. He said, because God's not your errand boy. You can't just send him out to do everything you say. And here's what he said. He said, don't you know that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God? And I went, oh, I hope I didn't do that. I didn't want to, you know. But luckily, I don't have time to feel sorry for me because I'm praying for people. So it kind of came and went, you know. Like I thought that, and I'm like, you know, I felt bad, you know, for a minute. But I kept praying for people, and pretty soon you forget it, and people are getting blessed and touched and healed. And we had church, and I felt real good. The service was so good. It was such a blowout, wonderful, anointed service that the pastor, when he got up to dismiss it, he turned to me and he asked me, he said, I'd love for you to come back Wednesday and just preach the rest of the week from then till Saturday. And it just so happened that I had to preach in that area again on Sunday and had nothing during the week. And I said, perfect. I said, yeah, I'll be here Wednesday. And so when I came Wednesday night, I got there a little late. The singing had already started, and it was a long building, and I came in that back room back there. And when I came on Wednesday night, it was literally standing room only. It was full, and people were standing against the wall. And, you know, I always say, you know, we evangelists, we exaggerate all the time, but I promise you, this time it was full. It was, and so I came all the way down. They had me a seat right down here, and I just sat down, and they were wrapping up their song service, and some people were testifying and talking about the things that God had done that week for them. And I wasn't paying much attention because I had my Bible open, and I'm trying to hear God for what to do in the service. But I'm kind of aware of what's going on, but not paying much attention. And I heard a lady go, hey, preacher! And I knew that she was talking to me, and I was sitting over here, and I looked around, and in the farthest corner, way back there, there was a lady standing up, and she looked like she was mad. She was like, she's going, hey, preacher! And I waved at her, and she goes, you remember that shirt you prayed over the other night? And I hadn't thought about it until she said that. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, praise God, you know. And she goes, well, here it is, right here. And she pointed to a man that was sitting next to her. His face was in his hands, and he was shaking uncontrollably with a green shirt on. And it was her husband. And so I preached my message, and at the end of it, when I made an altar call, he walked that long aisle in front of everybody to declare Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. And the lady wasn't mad. She was just intense. She was Pentecostal. She was just, hey, preacher, you know. But he was confirming with those signs. Are you hearing anything this morning? You see, the heart of the Father, the way of the Father is now. He doesn't wear a watch like we do. He's always now. The Bible says he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Not a future, not a past. He's always in the now. His name, I Am, when he told Moses, You know what that word is? That name, I am, that is the whole root of that word, Jehovah or Yehovah, which means I am or I exist. It's the now form of the verb to be. It's not I was or I will. It's I am. His name means now. And before we fell in the Garden of Eden, everything was in the now. Everything was in the now. And when Jesus came to restore us, he brought us back to the now. I love what James was talking about, how people put this big gap between the now and not yet, and the tension between, in God, everything's in the now. Would y'all stand up? Get ready. Somebody, get ready for you now. I will no longer postpone my word. Are y'all hearing anything? You see, this has to be opened up to us, and we want to see this by revelation, because what happens, if you can see this morning, how many are seeing something this morning? If you can see this, it brings a paradigm shift to you, because see, we've been like those children of Israel for 40 years in hope. And hope is good. Hope is powerful. Hope will keep you going through anything. But now faith is. Faith is now. And we're not chasing that carrot on a stick. We're in the now. And so when we see that progression there, we see that there had to be a change in dynamic and the change of seeing this, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if God is always the God of tomorrow, there's an old song that says, tomorrow never comes. Because the truth, church, you've never seen tomorrow. You've never seen yesterday. Everything you've ever lived has always been in the now. Huh? If you live yesterday, it's only in your imagination. If you're living tomorrow, it's only in your imagination. What your experience always is in the now. And when the sun comes up tomorrow, you will be in the now. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's always in the now. That's where you're always at, and that's where God's always at. You see, your answer is not in your future. Your answer is in your faith, in the now. Your answer is not in your future. Your answer is in your ability to receive because of who He is. Are you seeing? And our ability to receive is not of our own strength. What happens is all we do is we see a truth, and we hear the truth, and it enlarges our heart. And that's what the wonderful Holy Spirit is doing, is He's taking away every reason that we can't receive from Him now. Amen. Why not you? Why not here? Why not now? I was in a service where I was up in Michigan, and I preached a Sunday morning, and the pastor was out of town and relayed to his associate that he would like me to do a miracle healing service that night. And while I've seen lots of those things in my ministry, I'm not billed as the healing evangelist. But I got excited. I said, wonderful, let's do this. So I'm praying in my hotel room saying, Lord, how do I prepare the hearts for their healings and their miracles? And here's what he gave me that night. He says, tell them, why not you, why not here, why not now? Amen. And I knew what he was saying, because I went into him preaching this message of grace. And the message of grace takes away every reason why it doesn't have to be, why it can't be you, why it can't be here, why it can't be now. With grace, all the answers are yes and amen. Amen. Without grace, there's lots of reasons you can't have it. Maybe God don't want it. Maybe God don't like you as much. Maybe God favors somebody else. Maybe you're not clean enough. Maybe you're not holy enough. Maybe you're not obedient enough. Maybe you don't go to church enough. Well, you missed church last Sunday, so you can't have it now. And you got all these reasons why not you. You're not mature enough. You're not spiritual enough. You got all these reasons. And what the wonderful Lord does with revelation, it just blows all that out and said, there's no reason that it can't be you, that it can't be here, that it can't be now. Could we have some keyboard, could we have some keyboard music? Thank you. Y'all doing all right this morning? Hallelujah. Who's ready now? You ready now? God's certainly ready now. Who's ready now? How about now? How about right now? The winds of the Spirit moving. All God's got to do is touch that heart. That's so easy. Shoot, if you can be saved, anybody can be saved. Huh? That's not hard for God. Remember when Jesus said something? They said,
Why do they say that Elijah must come first? I love how Jesus said that. He says, Elijah will come. He spoke in the future. Will come and restore all things. But if you can receive it, he's already come. See, it can go either way with us, however we want it to be. Huh? I could preach that God's going to do that for you somewhere in the future. I can preach that, and that'd be powerful. But I can also preach it's happening now. Come on, somebody. This is something's moving here. What you spoke out. See, I was about to say something before you said that. And there's other people here this morning. If while I was talking this morning, if there was a particular person, and it doesn't have to be, if there was nobody that came to mind, it doesn't mean you're unspiritual. It means that God's saying something else for you. Hang on. But if while I was talking, there was a particular person and their face would not move out of your face, you knew exactly who God was putting on your heart. And it wouldn't go away. It kept coming up the more I would talk. A particular person that you cared about. You say, that's exactly what was happening to me today. Rick, would you raise your hand? You know what that is? That's God in you. That's God dealing with you. That's God telling you, this is what I'm doing now. That's God telling you, this is what's happening right now. This is the one that's coming in right now. This is the one that's being reconciled now. I'm telling you, this has been going on for years now. Sometimes it's just salvation they need. Sometimes just family reconciliation. I cannot tell you the number of times someone says, I haven't heard from a daughter or a brother or something like that. And there have been times, you can't always do this, but there have been times when God would give me the word and say something like, in 7 days, you'll hear from him. There was one where a woman hadn't heard from her brother in 35 years. And the word came, in 7 days, you'll hear. And on the seventh day, she got the call. You see, things start moving when you agree with God. Help me, Lord. Once you come into agreement with what God has for you now, it is conceived in the earth and it starts happening. Oh my goodness. Can you give me 1 minute? Mary, God had something for her. She was to bring forth Christ into the earth. So he announces it to her, his plan through Gabriel. Mary don't receive that. She's like, how can these things be? I haven't known a man. I haven't done what it takes. How can these things be, Rick? I'm not holy enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not smart enough. I haven't read enough Bible. I don't give enough. I don't worship enough. I don't do this. How can these things be? He says, it's okay, Mary. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. It's not about you. But she doesn't get it. She doesn't see how it could be. But as he continues to speak to her, something happens. And her eyes open, and then she opens up her eyes and she says, here's how King James says it. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to thy word. The Message Bible says this. And Mary said, yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid ready to serve. It will be just like you said. She finally agreed. She agreed with it. And watch. She didn't have to make it happen. As soon as she agreed, heaven came to earth. That which God had reserved in the spirit came into the natural. And the Christ who was always in the heavenlies came physically to earth. And the promise of your healing and your restoration and your blessing, your abundance, and all the vision that God has spoken of that he has given in the now, it's been in the heavenlies for you the whole time. And the moment you agreed with the now, it began to manifest physically. As soon as I agreed with God about that car, things started moving in the spirit. He'll tap a guy on the shoulder you've never met. You might be sitting right next to the one that can put your kid in college. Anything can happen this morning. Anything can happen. Checks can be written. Miracles can happen in your body. Doctors' reports change. Family situations change. Debts are canceled. I had over $100,000 of debts canceled just this past year. Totally eradicated, wiped away. Anything can happen in the now. Are y'all ready? Who's ready for their now? Woo! somebody else says, my thing, Rick, was every time while you were speaking, what kept coming to my mind was my money situation. Something's got to happen there. And if God don't do something, I'm a big, anybody like that here this morning? Or something? Yeah, but why? Because this is what God's dealing with you about. We're here on purpose this morning. This is what God's doing. See, my God supplies all your need according to how good you are. According to how holy you are and how much you give and serve and do all that, according to what He's got in glory. If He's got it, that's how He supplies it. Amen. Money is such a fun and easy thing in the kingdom of God. Watch it. Those that raised your hand, all I can do is tell you what I feel. I feel so clean, so strong this morning. What's going on here? My goodness, the glory's all over you. It's all over your head, all over your face. Father, I give you praise this morning. I can see it on some of you people. You back there in the red, what was going on with you back there? You were standing here and I looked over you and the Spirit of God was swirling around and moving things in your life and in your situation. And it's like something came in and just blew things and the puzzle pieces just fell all in a scattered place. And you're going to see another wind now that's coming and it's blowing every bit of them back together. And you're going to look at how it is and watch your God. Watch how He does. While you would pray that it would be as good as before, God's making it better because He's had things reserved for you that's better than you could ask or think. Get ready because something is happening in the now. Are you hearing me, church? Amen. Something's going on in the now. You're going out the door today and everything is good because Jesus did it all for you. To Him be the glory. Can we give Him a praise this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Before I turn over, somebody says, my thing is physical ailment, pain, disease. You came in here with this morning. You're ready to walk out without us. Anybody like that this morning? Get ready. Lift up both hands. Those of you lift your hands right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, what's going on with you? What hand?
Well, today is
it's a hurting right now. Feel it. What's going on? I feel pretty good now, don't it? Now. Now, come on, somebody, give God a praise. Woo! Come on. And God says, watch it. This is just a physical thing. This is the first of many dominoes that are about to fall in your life. Because you've stepped into something when you saw that this morning. You received that and you stepped in, took a step into the now zone, into your now God. He will never be the God who used to do for you. He won't be the God of your past or your future anymore. He will be your ever-present help. What do you need this morning? Not anymore. Lift up your hands because those things are in your yesterday. This very day, those things stop. This is not unto death. This is unto glory, says the Lord of hosts. Be blessed in your now, for in the heavens you are well this morning. Stand in the kingdom of God. And look, lift up your eyes and see. Behold, it's all new. For I looked, O sister of mine, and I saw no more curse. For those former things had passed away. And behold, everything is new. Those of you that lift your hands about that, lift up both hands again. Healing in your body. Hallelujah. Anybody came in with pain this morning and you said it's not there anymore? Can somebody wave your hand at me and say, I felt something, my body's changing. Something that was in there before, something that was going on, it's changed, it's gone. Just stand there and get it. Just stand there and enjoy it. Just stand there and enjoy it. Hallelujah. 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 Look at you. It's going on in the now in you. Look at your face. What's going on with you today? Your now God is here. Your now God is holding you in the now. Look at you. Look at you. You're being changed up in here, the inside. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Behold, everything is new. Now, lift up your eyes and see. John said, I saw no more curse, nor pain, nor sorrow, nor death, nor tears, because the former things have passed away. As you go out the door today, you're leaving things on the ground because that was then, this is the now. Woo, give God a praise, somebody. Give God a praise if you see anything, if you're grateful. God bless you all.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when Rick was talking about Mary, and that she said that she believed the messenger. God sent us a messenger. Believe the message, because the word from the messenger is true. Hallelujah. Is your eye opened up, or am I just... It's open. Her eye. Your eye is open. It is completely open. Oh, my gosh. It is. Look at her. It is completely open. That's a miracle, girl. It's a miracle. It's completely open. She's been walking around like this. Yeah, it's completely open. That's a now miracle. That's a now miracle. Wow. Now miracle, Linda. It's a now miracle. It's a now. Oh my goodness, I don't want to quit. You got another sermon? Just run him till he falls down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our messenger, Lord, that you sent to us. Lord, as he leaves this building, Lord, I ask you to pour back on him 100-fold that which he poured out on us. That he and Judy, Lord, when they leave here today and they get in their car and they're driving, Lord, they'll just be rejoicing. People are wondering what's wrong with that car, the way it's bumping along the road, because they're rejoicing in what you've done in them. Thank you, Lord, for doing in Rick what you needed to do so that he could bring it to us today. Bless him, Lord. Watch over each one of us, Father. Let this day be so filled with joy that we'll see such now miracles in our own individual lives, and we want to remember what it was like back in the desert as we walk in the promised land, the land of promises. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.